It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
And it is time for FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have y'all along. My man, Captain Mike Ward.
Man, glad to be here, Sean.
As we tick down,
warm day.
Yes, we tick down the light. Listen, okay, so this is it for deer season for the state of Alabama.
Yep.
Right, we wind up on Monday. Yes, it feels like April, but don't. I heard somebody saying, "Well, it was rotten. We're getting the hot weather." Y'all, we got the cold weather this year.
Yeah,
just because we don't have it here on the last weekend. There's no complaints from me. What we kept saying for a couple of years, we're not really getting the cold pops like we got it.
We got it, and it came at the right time.
It did. It came during the rut.
That's right.
We had a snowstorm and cold weather during the rut.
Yep.
Now, you know, for some people that the rut really doesn't finish, you know, it depends on where in the state you are, and there's, you know, still people that the deer are, I think pretty much it's going on everywhere, but it doesn't peak in some areas till like now.
Yep.
But for a lot of us, it's pretty perfect the way it hit.
It is, and it's, you know, it's starting to peak out now. It's about, some places it's about over with.
Yes.
You know, but you still get some rut activity, but it's starting to peak out in some places.
Yeah, I talk about a weird thing where I am. I see a mixture, and just it's weird because I'm in western Mobile County, but a lot of my deer rut, like, during the Black Belt.
Yep.
Mid-January, you know, into, although when Jay Graddick was on, he said, you know, from Skinner's, and we'll have him on for a recap here in the next couple of weeks. Jay Graddick said, you know, just watch out because the deer were dropping. But he said, I get my older age class bucks coming that week after. And that's kind of been true.
Yeah.
You know, that he was talking about towards the very end of January. So, you know, it is kind of peaking out. I've killed a couple bucks. We didn't talk about it last week.
One real nice one you killed this past week.
Killed two 9 points over about a week and a half time. And I don't think I killed a buck for last 2 years.
Yeah.
But, I killed a couple bucks since then, and, you know, older deer. And, so it was good. I saw two. One, you know, it's funny. When you run cameras a ton, and my neighbors do, and it's great because everybody's running cameras, we kind of have an idea of what's going on, you think.
Yeah.
One of the deer I killed was one that, and you and I were just talking about the one I killed most recently this last week, is a deer that I got pictures on, my neighbors got pictures on. He finally screwed up and stepped out in front of me about 6:40.
Yeah.
And I shot him, knew this deer, and killed deer from the same genetics. We even called this deer like he was the fifth in line of this genetic string. And then the deer I shot about a week before that, I never seen that deer before in my life.
And
I almost didn't get a shot at him because I sat with binoculars and did the whole, because we've talked about this. I'm not hunting point restrictions. We're just trying to get deer, you know,
older deer.
Yeah, 5 years or maybe actually even where we are, we talk about six, but let's say we're 5 years old for these deer. And I almost didn't get a shot at him because I was like, I don't know. I mean, the rack had me real excited, but I was like, I don't know. And then he turned broadside and I saw that dang belly and that sway back. And I said, you know, it's tough for you.
Yeah.
And he, before he stepped out or stepped into the woods, I shot him. So it was good for me. Like I said, it's been a couple of years since I shot a buck.
You've had a great season.
Yeah. So absolutely. So the fact that it's going to be 78 today. Can I give you an update on this spring stuff too? Because I want to update on bass fishing from you. Okay. And I want to do, and also we bass fished this last weekend. I had a bunch of people in to hunt, and I was like, when am I going to feed you jokers? Oh, yeah, let's go catch some bass. But before that, let me just give you an update. What I told you, I heard the first gobble on January 1st.
Right.
And I have heard, not every morning, but let's say more than every other morning, up to the morning I shot that buck. I think I shot that buck Tuesday morning. Had birds firing off. They didn't go on throughout the – but they were going on for – 15 minutes or so, 20 minutes, gobbling. So I talked to our buddy Chuck Sykes, and he said, ours aren't gobbling, but they're strutting like crazy. So, and once again, we've had this discussion. We will go in turkey season. The studies show they don't get strutted out. They don't get gobbled out.
No.
I mean, I got birds on camera in June strutting and
that's
gobbling.
Right. That's right.
So, but it's just exciting with turkey season, you know, coming up March 20th or 25th. I don't have the
25th.
Yeah. Opens like on a Tuesday, I think, or Tuesday or Wednesday.
I think it's Tuesday. I'll have to go back and look.
Yeah, I think it's 25th. Think, yeah, but it's during the week.
Yes. Which a lot of people are upset about that, you know, because a lot of people can't get off during the week to go. So
100% understand.
They would rather, let's do it. You know, just a few days earlier and go ahead and open it up on a Saturday where everybody can go.
Yeah. Now, or even delay it to the next weekend and make it. I get that because I lived that life for a long time. I realize how incredibly lucky I am to live where I hunt.
Yes. You can't beat that.
Because I didn't, you know, that didn't happen until I'm 50.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, I'm the guy that spent, you know, a good part of my life hunting Upper Delta Management area, you know, and having to do things that way. So I get it. But yeah, so thinking about turkey season coming up and that they're gobbling. Also, signs of spring. Did you catch a limit of bass, Mike? Did you catch five?
We did. We caught a few more than five.
So we're talking about...
We killed the bass this past weekend. You know, you never know. Of course, fishing in a big lake, you know, a private lake.
Right.
And we absolutely killed them. You remember the time that me and you and Wayne Cook fished that same lake?
I still have thumb damage.
Yes,
from that.
And I think we caught
186. Was that
168? I think
168. Okay,
in what, 4 hours or 4.5 5 hours, whatever it was. It was kind of a short period of time, but I mean, it's almost every cast you got one, you missed one or whatever.
Right.
And it wasn't quite that good, but it was close. We fished for about 4 hours and we just killed the bass. Now we just wore them out.
You know, it's interesting too to think about. So when Captain Wayne Miller was on, we talked to Captain Wayne and put some of those pictures up, I think, when we posted that show for the podcast. And he had the pictures of these bassies catching the Delta with snow still sitting on the bank in the background.
Yeah.
That one was a little, you know, was surprising to me. But February, when we get these warm temperatures, I mean, it starts in smaller ponds and private ponds and that kind of stuff first. And then moves. Although, like Captain Wayne says, he said there'll be a February spawn in the Delta. There'll be a March. There'll be an April. Maybe in a May, you know.
Yeah.
But fish we cleaned. It was interesting. The fish we cleaned, and, you know, we're fishing a private pond, too. A lot smaller than what you're fishing, but, you know, about a 4-acre, 5-acre private pond. Unless they're a real big one, we have to keep every fish.
Keep all the small ones. That's what we do.
Yeah. And, I mean,
that's managing the pond.
Yeah. And because, you know, I don't fish as much, we get pretty heavy on it. I ain't cleaned one with eggs.
None. Man.
Smaller pond. Did y'all have some with eggs?
Most all of them had eggs. I would say.
Isn't that crazy that we didn't?
About 80% of what I cleaned had eggs.
And normally that's what I thought we would do. I cleaned those fish, you know, I mean, that was Saturday night dinner, and not a one had eggs.
That is really strange. Mm-hmm. How many fish are we talking about?
22, I think.
That's something wrong.
Yeah. So they didn't have eggs.
Something's not right.
Because I was paying attention. I mean, I'm sitting there, you know.
Yeah.
And they're from, you know, believe me, because I was, you know, because I didn't have Jesus on my side to make the fish feed everybody. We kept some that probably a little smaller than we'd normally keep, where you have to work hard to get the fillet, have a real good sharp knife and a steady hand. So some of them were too small to spawn.
That's one that I like.
I like them too. Yeah. They're the first ones that float up in the grease.
Yeah.
You time that, you know, when you get there. I got one of those. Got a big fryer, but, you know, when I'm doing stuff in the house, I got that grandpappy fryer, you know, it keeps the temperature.
Same.
Like you plug it in and that's the temperature.
That's right. Yep. I've got two of those.
Okay.
Yep.
But, you know, like when you put a big fillet in and the smaller fillets pop up first. Now I try to segment. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do two big fillets and then take them out and then put like six smaller fillets in. But yeah, I did not have any with eggs.
Something's not right there.
Yeah, pretty interesting.
I can't believe that.
Now, there were two throwback fish.
Yeah.
That were too big to keep. That may have had eggs, but they didn't have that big sow belly.
Yeah.
You know, like you think of February, March. So, I don't know. Just that's a unscientific sample, but that's what was going on. You had 80% with eggs. I had 0% with eggs.
You need to talk to your fish guy.
Well, we'll see. We'll have to go catch some more, you know, this weekend and keep the experiment going.
Yeah.
Listen, and it would be a cool thing in a way if they weren't holding eggs, you know, because it would help with the population. You know?
Are you that overpopulated right now?
I don't think so. I don't think so. But this,
you manage your pond pretty good.
Well, I do. I mean, except for I failed in the. I mean, we fish that pond for us, you know, because I live right there. I mean, the pond is, you know, it's 30 yards from my front door. That's, we eat from that pond.
Yeah.
But with hunting season, work, and remember we talked about it, I was real sick in December. I just hadn't, you know, usually I'm going every 2 weeks and we're catching fish. And then once we get in spring, it's every week. I mean, once a week we're eating fried bass.
Right.
But I've been way off on my, like, even through last summer and fall, I've been way behind. So I think I'm probably overpopulated, but they're just, you know, it was a pond that, and we'll have the, you know what, we'll get the folks back on from Southeast Pond Management to talk about it. But so it had Floridas in it, okay?
Right.
When my mom and dad got this Florida property, yeah, Floridas. Yeah. And Floridas are great. They can get really big.
They don't bite.
Those chokers
good.
Don't want to bite.
Yeah.
And I swear, if you catch them on a one lure, you'll never catch that fish on that lure again.
Yeah.
So some years ago, we came in and put put F1s in, you know, and
that's hybrid bass.
Hybrid bass, yeah, across between the Floridas and the Northerns.
Right.
So you're hopefully getting the best of both worlds. The Northerns, aggressive. Floridas can put on the weight. And it's been enough cycles since then that I think the crossbreeding has gone on. So we'll see. But yeah, I mean, that's just, I have no real spin on it other than, you know, I think it's kind of interesting that you had 80% with eggs and I had zero.
Yeah. So you've had, those fish have been in your pond now, what, 3 years?
The F1s?
Yeah, the F1s.
Three or four. This will be 4 years, I think.
So what's the average size of those fish now?
If you could, and you can't tell anybody, you know, for a while, because when they stock those in, they'll clip a fin.
Yeah.
And so you know,
what?
I told people in the first year, like, don't, you know, you think tuna's expensive?
Yeah.
Pound for pound, that bass is. So we didn't keep it. And they chunked up pretty fast.
Yeah.
And they were, but now they've kind of washed out into the population. But we'll see. I mean, it, like I said, I've not been fishing hard. This is the time of year now. We'll get after them. And I, you know, and shame on me too, this kind of fishing that goes on this time of year, the food fishing, the boats never get launched. It's if you can catch them from the dock or around, you know, this is just hey, let's go catch fish for dinner.
Yeah.
So y'all actually went fishing. We just, you know, went getting food. So.
Yeah.
All right. Now, we'll come back. We're going to talk more on the show about turkey season coming up, of course, and bass fishing in the mix.
Tuna fishing too.
And tuna fishing as well. But when we return, we'll talk about turkey season on an e-bike. Now, you know, it was 2 or 3 years ago that I got this electric bike from Clint Jamison at Adventure Earth Bicycles. And I don't think I was the first one around to do it, but it was, you know, I was an early adopter of these e-bikes and started off thinking, okay, this is going to be my tool for turkey hunting, and we're going to talk to Clint about that. But then I use it like weekly for exercise and riding around and having fun. But even since I bought mine, the amount of changes in technology and range and size and all that keeps changing. If you're thinking this turkey season you're going to slip up on them on an e-bike, I got a guy that knows about the e-bikes, and he's going to join us. His name's Clint Jamison. He's with Adventure Earth Bicycles, and he'll be on next right here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, glad to have you along. And as we mentioned, I'm in transitional last weekend of deer season here, ended on Monday, and I did happen to point out that so many times during the month of January and I guess into February, been hearing turkeys gobble. I mean, and Mike will tell you, for both of us, but I pretty much, you can talk to me in November and I'm thinking about turkeys.
Well, yeah, I am too.
You could talk to me like at the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo and I'd like to talk about turkeys. It's kind of a season's not year round, but my brain's there year round. And I mentioned that my friend from Adventure Earth Bicycles, Clint Jamison, would join us. And he's got bicycles for, you know, for everything, from your kids and family. But we're really going to focus today on these e-bikes. And it has become a big thing in the hunting world. And a lot of y'all using them during deer season. I know a lot more folks are really interested in them for turkey season. So let's bring on the pro. Ladies and gentlemen, Clint Jamison, and the crowd goes wild. Hey, man.
Hey, guys.
So
how are you guys doing today?
We're good. We're good. We're, you know.
I mean, you're talking about turkey season, so I mean, you've got to be good.
It is good.
It is a good thing. And I want to, like, first of all, and I've talked about this, I guess, during Midday Mobile, but to give you, Clint is no new guy to the world of bicycles. I'm going to age both of us, but probably, what, man, 20 years ago plus, we met, right? And you were at that point a bicycle freak back then, back when I first met you in the radio world.
That was actually probably close to 25 years ago.
25 years ago. Okay, thank you. I really do feel old. So,
yeah, a couple more years added to it.
So 25 years ago, you were already fully vested in the bicycle world. So, yeah, you got the chops on this.
I have been doing it for quite some time.
Now,
yeah, and, you know, and e-bikes have really taken off in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And if you remember, we got you on a e-bike, and it's almost been 2 years because it was turkey season when we put you on an e-bike.
That's right. And that, you know, and that's right. I mentioned a second ago, and I've talked about it on Midday. That's exactly why I got into it. We're going to talk about using them for turkey hunting, but it has become a part of my life. It's just a weird thing here is we'll talk about turkey season, these bikes, but y'all, side note, because these e-bikes, and Mike will talk about it, and he won't understand why I pedal, but with an e-bike and using that that eco mode, that assist mode that mine has, I have a Magnum from Scout from Adventure Earth Bicycles. It just takes the unfun part of bike riding out of the mix, like going up a hill or soft sand. And so I keep it. It helps on those. And the rest of the time I'm pedaling, and therefore I want to go ride the bike. Therefore I ride more days and more distance. Therefore I get exercise. I mean, that's the formula there. Just the stuff that the old, you know, days of going up a hill and just cussing
hard.
It
you're taking the hard part
the
out.
Hard part out, yeah. And the hard part is what keeps some people from going to ride their bike three times a week.
Yeah.
You take that out, then you go ride your bike three times a week. So yeah. that's been, I know we're going to talk about the hunting side. I just want to put that out there, that it's been, it surprised me how much it makes me want to ride my bike.
Yeah, we tell everyone that, you know, with the first time they hop on an e-bike, we say every hill becomes a downhill, and every wind becomes a tailwind with an e-bike.
Yeah,
it's true, and you can modulate this, and we're going to talk about this, y'all. You can do this and never touch the pedals.
Yeah.
You know, you can do it that way completely on electric, but you may find that just the joy of when you're on flat or you're on a get just pedaling the bike like you did when you're young, getting the exercise, it feels good in your legs. The parts that don't feel good in your legs, well, that's when the electric motor kicks in. So, Clint, you talked about. Go ahead.
You'll ride further. You'll just go ride further. You'll 100%. Ride longer. You'll spend more time on the bike. Just because of that, you don't blow yourself up going up a hill, but you just keep riding. You let the electric part help you up the hill, and then when you get to the top, you just go back to regular pedaling, maybe with a little bit of pedal assist, but you just find yourself riding further because, again, the hills don't become a problem.
Yeah, and it's fun.
But if you're real lazy like me,
yes,
you might want to just use no pedal.
So we'll talk about that because there's a range here of uses. You talked about 5 years ago, and you're right. But so you were at the forefront of this too, that the electric bikes had been out there some component, but when they hit the hunting world, and we're talking about it expanded a lot of different areas too, but when they hit the hunting world, something big happened. Right, I mean the changes in the bikes, the fit, the accessories. It really has exploded.
It really has, and it's been incredible. I mean, we now sell gun racks that mount on the bikes. We sell fishing rod holders that mount on the bikes. We sell pistol holsters that mount on the bike. The e-bike companies and the accessory companies recognize that these are used for hunting. It's not. It's no longer a gimmick. It's no longer a shot ski is a real deal setup for hunting. It is. That's what these companies look at the people deer hunting and turkey hunting as real customers that are going to put these bikes in real world use.
Yeah, I mean you've seen that in when new things break out. You know, early on people are getting e-bikes and then either modifying themselves stuff to make them more friendly for hunting, or other companies are buying or having things you can put on them. To now, like these bikes that Clint sells that are, like you said, they are rigged out for hunting. And, I mean, people use them for deer hunting, coming and going to the stand. Now, it's a little harder to haul your deer out, but coming and going to the stand, unless you use one of those little papoose trailer things they have for them, are really good. But they're using them because they're not making any noise going in, not leaving the scent. And for turkey hunting, man, this thing's deadly.
Yeah, they're silent. They're silent killers. You can sneak up on a turkey.
Clint,
just like you can on a regular bike, but you're doing it with a lot more ease on the e-bike.
Clint, I know Sean's bought his, 2 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I think they've made quite a few changes since then, haven't they? Since he bought his?
They have. His is 750 watts. Most of them are still, to be a bicycle, 750 watts or lower. Anything above that, it's a motorcycle by law. So it's not a bicycle, even though it could have pedals. It's just like a moped. It would have, be classified as a motorcycle. But 750 watts is still what the majority of our hunting bikes are. And they've made a few changes. We've got a little bit more torque to them. Sean's torques out at about 1,000 watts. The new ones torque out at about 1,200 watts.
Oh, no. Mike's going to get one. Mike's going to get one. I'm never going to hear the end of this. Okay, yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Clint. Go ahead.
The displays are now color displays instead of black and white displays. And so, and then the other thing is they've realized that where 2 years ago when you came in, Sean, the men's, you know, there was definitely a men's bike in a step through lady style bike. Majority of them now are step throughs. They realized that even the hunters need to be able to get on and off the bike a little bit easier. So every bike is pretty much a step through, and that is not a lady's bike. That is just a bike easier to get on and off of when you stop and you need to put your gun, grab your shotgun or rifle out of the gun holder. To grab the bags on the back, it just makes it easier to get on and off with all the accessories and all the different components that it takes to hunt off the bike.
And the
that is one of the major changes we've seen just in the last 2 years.
And the new ones have fenders too. Sean's don't have fenders.
They do. They do have fenders.
Sean, that'd be a great reason for you to buy one. It's got fenders. You won't get mud slung on you.
Now mine has fenders.
Oh, I didn't know you.
They're not as extreme as the new fenders, but I've got fenders. But the step through thing is gold. I mean, it's not a problem on mine, but I got to tell you, why do I want to, if I don't have to sling my leg up like I'm going to get on a little horse?
Right.
Why do I want that? I mean, the step through thing I think is a big benefit.
It is a big benefit.
Yeah.
Especially if you're deer hunting with heavy clothes on, you know, I'm getting ready to buy one from you, Clint, here next week or so, and I'm buying it for turkey hunting, and I'm also buying it to go to Kansas. And when you go to Kansas, I mean, it's cold out there. You got a lot of clothes on, and it's a lot easier to get on that bike and off that bike with a step through than having to sling your leg over the bike.
It does make a difference.
Yeah. So.
And the new ones also have they pull more weight. Most of our new hunting e-bikes, not only do they carry the capacity of the rider, but they also will pull 400 pounds on a trailer. And so we even stock the trailers.
Okay, you got them. Good.
If you were going to go deer hunting and you know you shot yourself a nice sized buck, you could pull it out with the e-bike if you wanted to.
That's pretty slick.
Things have changed.
Or taking, I mean, I'm thinking about this too. Like Mike and I are lucky enough we're both hunting private land, but I grew up hunting public land. And to me, the idea, the things we used to do, you know, and with non e-bikes, because there were no e-bikes, places you couldn't get in or they closed roads to, you know, like to be able to take an e-bike and go in with that trailer to take, y'all public land guys, y'all know what I'm talking about, take your stand in.
Yeah.
Like your lock on and your steps and your bag you're going to carry up and your safety harness and all that. Put that in the trailer and go in and hunt. And then you come out with the deer. You can put the deer in there and all the gear. That's a big win.
That's a big change. I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, without a doubt. So these bikes are designed to haul you and everything you need to go on the hunt.
If you're just joining us, talking to my buddy Clint Jamison, Adventure Earth Bicycles, and yeah, with turkey season coming up, the e-bike fever, you know, continues to pick up. Let's talk about range, because you have the actual stats. I know on mine, it's like my charger gets lonely. You know what I'm saying? Like my e-bike, and I'd use it in assist mode, but I mean, I don't charge it very often, months, you know. With
really?
Charging
that
it, yeah.
You go months without charging.
Yeah, and I use it for that assist mode. I'd say a month, you know.
Use it a lot.
Yeah, but I use it, like, remember how I said, I let it kick in to go up the assist mode. If you're doing it full electric, it'll be different. But, I mean, what kind of range are people getting out of the, let's talk about, like, the fat, tired, hunting e-bikes?
On average, 50 miles. We have a couple customers that get 80 to 100.
Is that in full electric? Is that 50 mile full electric?
No, full electric, not pedaling, you're going to get about 30 to 40.
Okay,
miles.
All right.
But with the in the pedal assist mode on the Eco, we have customers that get 80 to 100 all day long. And so, but if you wanted to not pedal, you know, 40 miles or so is what we see on average. Again, if it's real hilly or if you're a bigger guy, you might get a little bit less. A little bit smaller guy is going to get more. If you're hauling stuff on the back, you're going to get a little bit less. If you're pulling that 400 pounds, you're going to get a little bit less. You're drawing power.
That makes sense.
But it just takes overnight to charge on average 6 hours. But in all reality, you're probably going to get, if you were to take it to the hunting camp, most likely you'd get through the entire 2 to 3 day weekend hunting without having to recharge it.
Plus, when we come back, we'll talk about, as the accessories go, if you wanted to have that other battery too, that can happen as well. We're coming right back. More of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Our guest, Clint Jamison from Adventure Earth Bicycles. Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have you all along. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, and our buddy Clint Jamison from Adventure Earth Bicycles, talking e-bikes for hunting right now, and even during the break, so much had come up in our conversation. But range-wise, you're telling us, because we talked about range, but you gave us, like, instead of just a back-of-the-card thing, you gave us a real-world conversation during the break. You've got a guy, yeah, tell me, this guy, Atmore to Midtown Mobile?
Correct. He lives in Atmore. When he came in to purchase the bike, he and I talked about it, and I, you know, learned a little bit about him, like I do most customers. And the next week, Saturday, he's at my store with the bike. And I said, hey, I said, where did you start from? Thinking maybe he started somewhere in Midtown, maybe right across the bay. He said, I started at home in Atmore. And I said, okay, do you need a recharge? He said, no. He said, I've got more than 60% of the battery. He goes, I'll make it home. And now about every other Saturday, he rides down and rides back. He tells me it's about 120 miles round trip. Now, he's riding on eco mode with pedal assist. So he's not using, you know, full electric. He's doing pedal assist, so it helps him. So he's moving along at about 12 to 14 miles an hour with the pedal assist. And he rides from Atmore to Midtown Mobile and back.
And he's not riding the interstate either. He's riding back roads.
No. That's
yeah,
right.
So that's a longer, back. I mean, right. It's a longer way around.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
He's still got to come across the bridge. I don't know where he's coming.
He couldn't come across the causeway, probably.
He's coming across the causeway and going up and over the Africatown Bridge, and he comes down. You know, comes into on Broad Street, comes down to Government Street, rides into our store.
How about that?
And we see him about twice a month. He does this ride, and super nice guy. And I was, the first time he told me, I was like, well, here's a testimonial to what we're selling and what these bikes can do. And I thought, this is incredible. I thought, you know, I hate to say I never expected that. I didn't expect that kind of range. And not every bike has that. But the funny thing about this one is, this wasn't a $2,000 or $3,000 bike. This was the $1,300 bike this gentleman bought. So it wasn't the top, wasn't the most expensive. It wasn't the biggest and the baddest and the best. It was just one of our entry-level, a little bit nicer e-bikes from Denago, and he does this, like I said, at least twice a month.
It doesn't have the big hunting tires on it.
No, it's a city bike. It's a city bike.
Right.
Now, you could still take it down dirt roads. This one would work just fine down dirt roads. It's a step through, just like the big hunting bike. We have it, this particular bike, at $1,300 with that type of range. We actually have it in a dark green, like a dark hunting green with black trim. And it's on sale right now for $1,300, and we could outfit that one for hunting. And it'd be just fine on dirt roads.
Yeah.
Now, it's not a big back tire one, but it has a 2.5-inch wide tire on a 27.5-inch hoop. So 27.5 inches in diameter, 2.5 inches in width. And you could ride dirt roads on that bike all day long.
That's awesome. How long has he owned that bike?
He has owned that bike I guess his last spring was when he purchased it.
For about a year.
So he's had it for about 8 months or so now.
So it'd be interesting to see how that works with the battery life. Okay, so, you know, now he comes down to Mobile from Atmore, and he's got 60% battery life. It'd be interesting to see how long it takes for him to come down to Mobile, and he's only got 50%.
You're talking about how long for the battery start
for the the battery starts going down. Yes.
Well, so our manufacturer says most of the batteries are made by LG and Samsung. They are most of the batteries. The majority of the bikes we sell have Samsung and LG batteries.
Yeah,
and they all have a 2-year warranty on the battery. So the bike has a 2-year warranty from front to back. From manufacturer defect, the batteries they tell us on average last about 5,000 miles. I actually have a customer who purchased an e-bike from us 3 years ago, still on the original battery. This guy commutes on his bike; he rides it more than he drives his car. He has over 14,000 miles on his original battery, and that one again blows me away. Blows me away because I'm thinking he's almost triple the lifespan of what the manufacturer tells us on the battery. But he has over 14,000 miles on his bike. That's the great thing about e-bike is that has a little computer display on the front, so it tracks miles. So we know how many miles when you roll it in, we know exactly how many miles you have on the bike.
Yeah.
It tells us right there on the computer screen.
Well, I don't have to worry about that. The battery will last me 3 lifetimes.
Well, exactly. The thing that ruins e-bikes is the same thing that ruins regular bikes. It's weather. Leaving it outside when you're not riding it, just don't leave your e-bike outside. Don't leave your bicycle outside. You know, a garage, carport, just fine. But don't leave it where it's going to get rained on and the sun's going to beat down on it all July and August. Put it inside a shed. Put it inside a carport. Put it in your house. Climate control is better than non-climate control. Put it in a protected area. If you don't have a very well protected area, just a lean-to. We sell bike covers. We have a cover that'll go over it. A bike will last a long time as long as you take care of it.
Listen,
that's what we tell people.
Listen, you're talking.
If you take care of it, we'll take care of it.
Well, and I tell you right now, looking across the table here at Mike Ward, there's nobody that takes care of his stuff better on planet Earth out of all my buddies and all that than Mike Ward. I mean, from his truck to his boats to his off-road vehicles. I mean, it's one of his many superpowers.
No, so I've got some kind of a problem. I don't know what it is. There's a word for what I've...
It's OCD.
It's whatever it is.
I like it.
I've got a...
his stuff looks brand new.
I've got a tracker side-by-side, and I promise you, if Eddie Brilliant wanted to use it to put it on the floor for a floor model right now, today... It looks just like I bought it. It's 3 years old.
His truck looks like that. His boats look like that, Clint. It's disgusting. It is disgusting. And he's a good buddy to have.
And the great thing about that is his stuff lasts.
Yes, it
does. And the other good thing about that is if he did, you know, when Mike gets his bike and if something was to go wrong, that makes it so much easier for me to take care of with the warranty. And the thing is, my company's usually 99.9% of the time, I can get anything covered under warranty. It's especially when it looks almost brand new, and I go, hey, look, this guy takes care of his stuff. Mm-hmm. They'll take care of you.
Yeah, that's right.
So,
for sure.
There's a lot of advantages to taking care of your equipment.
100%. Yeah. And my bike's been a lot easier than my truck. My bike stays undercover like that. And it's, but I want to also talk about once you get the bike, the accessory world. We talk about how over the years, as more people get into it, these companies are making bikes for hunters and stuff to go on them for hunters. And so mine's an off-road bike, and I got that the Magnum from Scout, and I've got the one back rack that I have modified some to tow to Turkey. But I don't need to do that because how I see the accessories. So Mike's coming down to get his first e-bike. I'm bringing mine back down because the accessory world, talk about gun holders, first of all.
Don't tell him about the seat first.
You gun holders, we'll get to the seat. The seat, because I have no butt, so the seat is a... but you talked about the gun holders here. Yeah, for pistols, but also you got one to hold a shotguns or a rifle.
Correct. We have a shotgun. We have shotgun and rifle holders, and we also have a bow. We have holders for bows, for bow season in the fall. And then we also have a holster, a pistol holster to mount on the front of the bike. So now that you can carry a holster, a sidearm in with you, when they changed that law a couple of years ago, you're allowed to bring in a sidearm now.
Yeah, during bow season.
So we have the holsters.
Yeah, you've got that. And you've got that, but that is something that is so people understand, even if they have an e-bike or another bike right now, that's not specific to these bikes. You can put that on any bike, right?
I can put it on any bike. They mount on any bike. They're not specific for e-bike. They're specific for bicycle. So e-bike, Wrangler bike, the rifle and gun holder, shotgun holder will work on the handlebar. The pistol holder will work on the frame. And then we also now have fishing rod holders that we can mount on the rear rack.
Okay, explain that to me. You told me the other day. I hadn't seen a picture of that. How's that oriented? Are they out the back?
We'd mount it typically on the back rack, and it kind of tilts at a 45-degree angle. So, or we can make it stand straight up, however you prefer. And you just, it's like a rod holder for the back, like the back of your truck. You see the rod holders?
Sure.
The people that stick them in the toolboxes on the back of the truck, it is just designed to mount on a bicycle. So it mounts, we can put 2-4 rod holders on the back of your bike. If you're a guy that wants to ride back to the creek or ride back to the river, the lake, and fish, and when turkey season's over and you want to do some fishing, but you got to get back to that fishing hole, it's not real easy to get to. You want to do it on your bicycle or your e-bike, we have the fishing rod holders to mount. If you're one of those guys that lives down by the beach, down by Dolphin Island, mm-hmm. and you want to ride to the beach and fish right off your bike, right off the beach, you can do it.
I think that's
because
the.
We have rod holders.
I think that's the. I mean, for beach fishing, like, and covering, yeah, I mean, that is, it is a big win. Yeah. And also to carry, you know, we don't just carry rods, all the tackle, or for hunting. That's a thing too. I'm real interested in putting on my bike is some panniers or whatever they're calling them on bike. You know, in horse world, we call them panniers. Okay, so the same thing. You can outfit these panniers on there that hold. You know, looks like you can put a good amount of gear in there.
Saddlebags is what I would call
saddlebags. Panniers.
There you go.
Panniers.
I know what a saddlebag is. I don't know what a pannier is.
Well, horse people know. They know saddlebag and panniers. But yeah, so these things are. They just. I mean, you can put these on your bike on the back rack.
We can put them on the back. We can put them on the front. Yeah, they carry up to some of the panniers. Just one pannier on the back can be a 3 gallons. It can hold up to 3 gallons. We have them all different sizes. We have a couple different colors.
I'm thinking about insulating them, Mike, for beer. Yeah.
We actually do have insulated ones. We have insulated bags.
Roll Tide.
We even have a 6-pack holder that mounts on the front of your bike if you want.
My man.
And an insulated 6-pack holder.
How about that?
And you could tote. I mean, you could really, because we're talking about an e-bike. Remember, y'all, you're not doing all the pedaling here. You can carry a lot of gear with you in these bikes. I want to go to the news break. Come right back. More with our buddy Clint Jameson with Adventure Earth Bicycles talking e-bikes right here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. From Adventure Earth Bicycles, talking about e-bikes and hunting e-bikes out there. I do want to point out, too, that these babies are not only good for fishing, we're talking about like beach fishing, but, you know, real quickly for canoe freaks like myself and our buddy Jason Smith and all that have to do shuttles for canoe trips, and it sounds like our conversation with Clint, he does the same thing. These are great shuttle vehicles if you're going to do a canoe float. And
what are we talking about there? What do you do?
Well, so, I mean, so in the old days, like even if you and I were going to go, just two of us were going to go, well, we'd have to take two trucks because we'd have to
put one at one end and one at the other.
Well, we'd have to drive the canoe. We'd leave one at one end, right, where we're going to finish, and then we'd have to drive the canoes up to the put-in place and then drift down and, you know, get them there. With an e-bike, you take one truck, right, and you can leave one guy. Let's say the two of us are going, leave you in the canoes up where we're going to start from. I ride back down, leave my truck where we're going to take out, and I e-bike right back up to you, lock that baby up in the woods, and we canoe, and then when we're finished, we load it in my truck and come back and get the bike.
Get the bike, yeah.
So, I mean, Clint, that's something you do as well.
Yeah, I do that. The bike's getting the short end of the stick there. He needs to, you know, when he gets his e-bike, you both ride up together.
That's true.
So that's as much fun as being in the canoe park.
I don't know about that.
The fishing thing. We're both fishing freaks, but it's a great tool for it. And Mike mentioned this as well before. The seat. And I have, can I say it on this show? I'll say it in one word and maybe I won't get fined. I have no acetal disease, right? So yeah. I don't have a big boot. So yeah, bike seats are a thing to me. Mine's pretty comfortable on mine, but Mike's talking about some of these new seats out there.
So we have the nice big gel seats, and we also have the suspension seat posts.
Did you hear the part?
Bump out of the rock.
That's for you.
Big. Yeah, go ahead.
So not only do we have the nice comfortable saddle or bike seat, we also have the suspension seat post that just takes that little edge off when you hit a big enough bump. It doesn't jar from your bottom up to the top of your spine. It absorbs that vibration. It absorbs that bump. And makes that ride a lot more comfortable.
Wait, is it like a shock absorber?
It's a shock absorber on it, yeah.
It is a shock absorber. It's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Suspension seat post is a shock absorber on the below the saddle, in between the frame and the saddle, the bike seat. And it makes a world of difference.
I can see the look in Sean's eye right now. Do you do trade-ins?
Can we swap out for one of those
seats? You do consignment?
Yeah. We swap out for that seat.
We do trade-ins.
Yeah. And I do want to just, we'll get right back because we just have a few minutes left and talk about these hunting bikes. But what I love about what Clint does at Adventure Earth Bicycles too, whether we're talking about, as he calls them, the Amish bikes, the non-e-bikes or the e-bikes, I just remember growing up, like Clint remembers, like you remember, Mike, there was a bike shop.
Right.
Like there was a place you could take your bikes to get them fixed and tuned and all that stuff. With the exception of somebody like Clint, there's just not anymore.
Right.
People buy, you know, a bike in a box and put it together, and then there's no, you know, to have a place that they got all the, it's just like the old days.
That's
you go in there and they got bikes on the rack and they're tuning them and doing all, I mean, it's a great thing you got going, Clint.
And easy to find, too. He's right across the street from Ruth Chris Steakhouse, right across Airport Boulevard from Ruth Chris Steakhouse. So easy to find on Airport Boulevard.
Yes, sir. You know, I started doing this when I was 14, 15 years old. And back in the mid-80s, again, aging, you know, dating myself.
Right.
And I try to make my bike shop very much the bike shop that I walked into when I was 14 years old back in the mid-80s.
Yeah.
That's the mentality I try to have in my store. The days of the fix-it stores are really going away.
100%.
And we sell things that can be repaired. We want to be able to repair what you have, and we don't want people just throwing away. We want to sell it. We want you to get a quality product, and we want to be able to stand behind it, and we want to be able to, if it needs a repair, we can repair it.
Yeah, I remember those days when, for us, it was BMX bikes back then or whatever, and just we'd go on a Saturday, we'd go to the bike shop. I mean, you know, if we were going to get a new seat or different handlebar or just to go see what, that's the kind of deal.
The cards and the spokes.
Yeah, but I'm saying there's like that vibe is what you got going, and I love that, even though we're dealing with technology that we hadn't even thought about when we were in the 1980s, but that old-fashioned vibe is there. On the batteries, too, Mike, you had some questions.
Yeah,
about
what does an extra battery pack, if somebody's using it a lot and they're going off on a long trip, can't recharge the battery for some reason or something, what would an extra battery pack cost for one of these? And I know that's a variable.
An extra battery, again, it depends on the bike, anywhere from about $400 to $650. The battery and the motor are the two most expensive parts of the e-bike. The battery's a little bit more expensive than the motor. But anywhere from $400 to $650 gets you a spare battery. We do stock some spare batteries. We can always order one, get one for you in about a week's time. But most of the bikes we stock, we also stock a spare battery because we do have customers that do want to carry a spare.
Yeah. And I can see that if they're going on some really long, extensive trips, they can't charge a battery for some reason. But it sounds the bikes will go for a lot longer than I wouldn't need an extra battery.
We had a customer this past summer that rode from Kansas to Wyoming, and we outfitted him on an e-bike and a trailer, and then he put a solar panel on the back of the trailer, and he bought two spare batteries, and he would always have one charged and one charging on the solar panel and then the one he was using. And he would ride about 40 miles a day, and he rode just under 700 miles.
Wow.
And from Kansas to Wyoming through Colorado, all on dirt roads, all on back country dirt roads, up into the mountains. in the Flatirons, and then up north to Wyoming. And he had an incredible time, and we outfitted him. We have a bike in the store that's similar to the one that we put together for him, so customers can see where we could take this if they wanted to do it. If you wanted to live off the grid for a couple weeks on a bicycle, we can set you up for that.
Yeah, I think I was bending Clint's ear about that before, because, you know, I've been to solar and solar power and that kind of idea. You know, you could have, I mean, as you go, you're charging for those kind of trips. If I draw a archery elk tag for Colorado, I'm going to try to go out late summer, you know, with the season starting in September. I'm going to try to go out a month or so before and scout and do that from an e-bike, because I can get up in that higher country and I can get on those, you know, smaller trails up there and
try to find that. They'll let you use them out there?
You can use them out there. Every state's different. In Colorado, you can use them where you could use any kind of wheeled vehicle.
Okay.
But a lot of those things that are open for wheeled vehicles out there are not, I mean, I've spent time out there in my trucks. It's open, but I don't know if you want to be, you know, the side of your truck's going to look like it had cats scratching both sides of it for, you know, I'm saying they're an open vehicle, but they're narrow, you know, and they're switchbacks going up mountains and stuff. So the bike can get me a lot of places. And now I got panniers I can get and all this, I can carry all my camping gear.
Yeah. How about that?
Yeah,
that's right. All right. I hate it. We have so many more questions, but we'll have to do this again in the future. I know Mike gave the location, but once again, if somebody said, where do I find you in the real world and online? How do we find you?
So in the real world, we're at the corner of Airport and Little Flower in Midtown at the Loop, cross street from Ruth Chris Steakhouse, and online at www.adventure-earth.com.
Clint Jamison, thank you, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys.
All right, and coming up, we will do this again next week for more of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors.